he started growing his hair long, and he started getting a beard and a mustache, and he trimmed it like Jesus, and looked pretty much like the pictures. And I thought, well, that's cool, let him do it. Until he started, actually, he's put on a white robe and had a rope for a belt and sandals, and he walked around Hilo with this Bible. I saw him in McDonald's one time, and I said, what are you trying to be?
He said, Jesus. Call me Jesus.
About 6 months later, I saw him under a bridge in Hilo, and he was smoking a joint. I wanted to go up to him and say, holy smokes.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne will continue his message about Cain and Abel in the Bible, and he'll show us how our insecurity is tested by the way we live in relationship to others. It's a message entitled Insecurity, Cain and Abel, and that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we invite you to join the family of New Hope in a time of worship.
What love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called His sons and daughters, precious in His sight. Greater love this world has never seen. When He hung on the tree, oh why would He do such a thing for dirty sinners like you and me? Oh God, my God,
thank You for loving me.
When on the cross You made history, Lord, You died for me. Forever my praise will go to Thee, oh God, my God. Thank You for choosing me
to be Your child and bear Your name.
Oh Jesus, I will never cease to sing Your praise. Father has lavished on us, that we should be called His sons and daughters, precious in His sight. Greater love,
this world can never see.
When You
hung on that tree,
oh why would You do such a thing for dirty sinners like me?
How high,
how high,
deep, how
deep.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Insecurity, Cain and Abel.
Cain is told by God, in just a few minutes you're going to hear that God says, something's going wrong, Cain. Later on, even though God said, let me warn you, he kills his brother. Now wait a minute, these are the first two offspring. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. They saw God. Everything is still fresh. But you can be someone who believes God, knows about God, is convinced about God, but still murder your own wife, your own kids, your own family, your own future. Now, sometimes people will come to New Hope and they'll say, hey, you're talking about me. They'll be talking to me. How come you're talking to me like this? Well, first of all, I don't talk to any certain one person. I don't wait for one person to do something wrong and then nail them. But I may use different illustrations from people because I'm tied into reality. I'm not just talking out of theory because I'm involved with the ball game just like you are. I've got kids, I've got a wife, I've got friends, we're involved in work and staff things in the city. So we're all in this together. So I may use illustrations. One person would say, well, how come you were talking about me? And I said to him, you know, first of all, I'm not talking about you, but if it does apply and the shoe fits, wear it. But the second thing is, I will never condescend on anyone. I will warn you, I will exhort you, I will challenge you. And if you're going over the edge, I will punch you so that you don't go over the edge. It would be a foolish friend that would say, you want to jump? Jump. And poof, and you're going, okay, sorry. No, I will stop you any way that I can. Now, but if I am talking to you, which I don't, but let's say I did. You know what the scripture says of a shepherd in Luke? It says this, a good shepherd will leave the 99 and go talk to one. And I say, you should be really happy because I'm leaving the 10,000 to talk to you for a Sunday. You should be pretty honored that a shepherd would step in your life and say to the other 10,000 people, could you just wait a Sunday because I want to talk to Joe Blow over here. That's a lot of love. So we as God's people in this church will get to open our hearts and see what he's saying about a spirit that takes root very well in the church. And it's going to be exampled in the tale of two brothers, Cain and Abel. Let's read at the top of our notes together, Genesis 4 verses 3 through 5. Go. Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. For some reason, God said, I'm going to promote Abel and I'm not going to promote you. And it could have been because Abel gave the best of his flock, whereas Cain gave maybe the leftovers. We don't know. But God was already becoming a lower option in his life. And the Lord says, we can't let that happen. You see, what happens is sometimes love draws a line and says, you don't get to do that. Now, we can get mad at God, call a foul on God for doing that. You did wrong, or we can look in the mirror and say, what is it that I need to change on the inside? But in either case, he was angry. That was his response, angry. Abel was accepted, his wasn't. I just don't like the way God's treating me. One of his distant cousins, Cain's cousins, down the road away, is going to be a man named David. Now, David is going to write a diary. He's going to write in it every day. And in the 16th entry, the 16th chapter of his diary called Psalms, he writes something really interesting, and you need to hear this. Do you remember the pixie sticks of yesteryear? You'd put them down and you'd let them drop, and they would fall into this convoluted style fashion here. And you're supposed to pick up one without moving the others. Well, those are things that fall, and David's going to use some language like that, and he says this. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, and my inheritance is good. He was running from Saul. He was struggling because people are trying to kill him. But yet he says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My inheritance or my heritage is fine. God is in control. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. Regardless of what my life looks like right now, It may look convoluted. It may not be the best. I may not have as much as or as nice as. The lines that are in my life right now, the things, the situations, whatever it is, here's what David is saying. I am satisfied with the way that God is treating me during this season of my life, because I know God's eternity and my heritage is good. God is in control. I might not understand this one little section of my life I'm looking at, but I know that my heritage is good because God sees the beginning from the end, and I don't. So who am I to say, I'm gonna discount you forever because I can see this much? Remember, scientists say that people use up to 4% of their brain. That's as much as we can use. Now, God knows all things, and we with 4% understanding say, God, you're not very smart. We only use 4% of our brain. And I've got some Puerto Rican cousins that's even a stretch, 4%. That's down here. But we have to understand that when those things fall, we don't understand, but we say, and here's what David says, hey, say it like this. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My heritage is good. Lord, I am satisfied with the way that you're treating me in this season of my life. And it's on this side of the line that's only this long, and I'm only seeing this much of that line, and I got this much forever with you. I am satisfied because I know you have my good in mind. And so he writes, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. But Cain, that's not what he wanted to say. He was mad, and I think I should have his rewards. I think I should have his wife. I think I should have their money. And we start to compare. And when that happens, watch this, your wholeness, boop, you want this. And so your heart is out here, but you are over here. Now you have insecurity because you're no longer whole. Do you have faith? Yep. You still go to church? Yep. But you have a dual life. What I believe is not how I live. And my faith isn't in my shoes, it's in my head. And you start to have this dual kind of life. And what God wants to do is to cause us to somehow encourage us to contend for wholeness, lest we start to covet that which is not our own. You know, sometimes people will say to me, well, I'm just trying to find myself. I'm just trying to find myself. Now, I grew up in the hippie generation, and people would say that, you know, I'm trying to find myself. I've got to find myself. Till this day, I don't understand what that means. Trying to find myself, trying to find myself. I ask them, where did you go? Well, I'm trying to find myself. Where were you the last time you saw you? Go back to that. I could never understand that. And so even though people, boop, they're over here, I'm trying to find myself. Listen, you want to find yourself? I'm going to give you a couple of things that'll help you. Number one, would you write down in your first line there? Number one, if you're really trying to find out who you really are, remember this. Number one, the real you is to be designed in his image. The real you is designed to be where? In his image. Because you see, God created us in his image. Let's read it. Go. God created man in his own image. Again, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. He says, doesn't matter if you're male or female. The more you become like Jesus, the more you find out who you really are. Well, I want to be like Joe Blow. I want to be like Superman, Batman, Bionic Man, Iron Man now. No. You become like Jesus, and you'll become who you're supposed to be. I mean, his wisdom, his perception, the way he views life, the way he responds to problems. That's why reading the scriptures and getting to know Jesus is so important, because if you don't know him, you don't know you. If you don't know his cause, you won't know your cause. If you won't know his intention, you won't know yours. If you don't know what he weeps over, you won't know what to weep over. And if you don't know what he rejoices over, you don't know what you're supposed to rejoice over. Because remember, when you're born, it's like you're a blank notebook. Nothing is written in it. Question is, what are you going to write in it? The stuff that you find from the world is going to be wrong dictionaries. You're going to define things incorrectly, or you're going to hear what Jesus is saying, and then you're going to write the way he sees it. And then you'll start to become who God created you to be, because God created us in his image. Now, I'm not talking about the outside. There's some people that look like Jesus. You know, I mean, they got long. There's this one guy in Hilo. I watched him, and he was starting to, you know, he read the Bible all the time, but he was like going weird. And he started growing his hair long, and he started getting a beard and a mustache, and he trimmed it like Jesus and looked pretty much like the pictures. And I thought, well, that's cool, let him do it. Until he started, actually, he's put on a white robe. He started walking on the streets, got rid of his apartment, went onto the street, and had a rope for a belt and sandals, and he walked around Hilo with this Bible. And he started getting really weird. I mean, really weird. And I saw him at McDonald's one time, and I said, what are you trying to be? He said, Jesus. Call me Jesus. I said, call you Jesus? Call me Jesus. So I said, I'm going to call you weird is what I'm going to call you. Because then immediately I know he's a false prophet and he's got some weird things going. And I knew it wouldn't last long. You know, it's like some viruses. You just got to let it run its course. And because about 6 months later, I saw him under a bridge in Hilo and he was smoking a joint. I wanted to go up to him and say, holy smokes. Instead, I went up and said, all right, Jesus. I said, you know this is illegal, smoking a joint down here. And he looked up at me and he said, God provided the herbs of the earth for mankind. God, forget it. So when we become more like Christ, he's not talking about walking around with glazed eyeballs and trying to think you're this weird thing. No, he's saying you need to have the heart of Jesus, the wisdom of Christ, the perception, the perspective, the attitude of Christ, the way he would respond, the way that he would see life, how he would contend for wholeness, and how his life is not just some passive thing. But he was someone that was for people, because in the end, we're not going to be known for what we've separated ourselves from as much as you will be known for what you've given yourself to. And he came to redeem mankind. He crucified for it, but he came to redeem mankind. And the more you're in his image, the more you'll become you. And you'll start to contend for wholeness. So contending for wholeness is becoming like Christ. That's the greatest way to contend for that. Press into him. You say, well, when I receive the Lord as a Christian, will that happen automatically? No. Would you write down in number two, finding the real you is, here's the word, dynamic, which means it's changing. You have to contend for that every day, because you're going to have temptations pulling you all the time to be split, to be somebody else. And you're going to want everybody just to love me. Let me do what I want to do. No, love draws a line sometimes in the sand and says, you can't go any further than this. If I love my grandfather and he's blind and he's walking down a pathway and I see it's going to go over a cliff, I'm going to say, Grandpa, don't go that way. Grandpa, don't go that way. And if he keeps going that way, what do you think I'm going to do? Well, go ahead then. No, if it's going over a cliff, I'm not only going to talk to him, I'm not only going to yell at him, I'm going to tackle him. Why? Because I hate him? No, because I what? Hey, listen, sometimes God's going to tackle you, and you're going to define it as God doesn't love me. Wrong dictionary. Wrong dictionary. So it's dynamic, because you're going to have to make some decisions, because you're going to have some stuff pulling you. Let's read what it says in Genesis 4:7. Go. If you do will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, here it is, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. I tell you, folks, listen carefully. Sin is crouching at your door, and a lot of times you think the only reason you don't sin is because you're holy. A lot of times the only reason we don't sin is we haven't had the opportunity yet. You haven't had the opportunity to throw away your life. You haven't had the opportunity to trade your family and your future for something, young thing. And I'm just going to put on a shepherd's hat and say to you, there's a spirit of deception that's rampaging this church and other churches. And I'm going to blow an alarm, and we put everything else aside. And I'm going to say to you right now, contend for wholeness. Contend for families. Contend for being a man of God, a woman of God. And you're going to have to fight for it, because sin is crouching at your door and it's desirous for you. And we think that it's tolerable to still come to church, which we want you to, definitely, but at the same time, be somebody else over here. Can't. Does that mean you're not loved? No, you're very loved. It'll just cause you all kinds of problems. I love you too much in your families to just say, well, whatever you want to do is fine. Don't do it. It'll bring great insecurity to you, to your family, to your heritage. Yeah, but I want what he... What you think is good and what you think is not good is just the opposite. And that tells you your spirit of deception is coming in and it's rampaging you. And we'll need to make sure that we see things clearly.
You have just heard part two of a message entitled Insecurity, Cain and Abel by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.